you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see the miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a I've never seen or done. How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my
have your Bibles with you today, if you would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, has there ever been a time that maybe you were looking forward to a movie, you had seen the previews of it, and you just could not wait for that movie to come out? And opening night, you're there at the theater, you go watch that movie, And then you walk out after the movie and you are just completely disappointed. It wasn't what you expected. And you walk out thinking, I just wasted 2 hours of my life. You know, I got to be honest, that's been every single Transformers movie for me. I grew up loving the Transformers, absolutely loved them, and I remember every single time they've come out, I've been really excited, and then I walk out just completely disappointed. So many times, though, we do something, we're excited about it, and then in the end, we're like, it just didn't meet my expectations, and I just wasted my time going to see that. I wasted my time doing that. But I want to share with you this morning that there is something that you can always do and you will never leave feeling disappointed. You will never leave feeling that you just wasted your time, that you wasted that precious time that you have. Because whenever God uses you to make a positive impact on someone's life, it will always be joyful. It will always be fulfilling. It will always be rewarding. And so today, we want to continue looking at this initiative that we've been going through for the last month or so about reaching our city, and we're going to be concluding that here this morning. But this series, this initiative, we've been trying to do a few things. The idea of this is trying to leverage the opportunities and the privileges that we have in our culture to do some pretty awesome things, and we want to leverage those opportunities. We want to use what God has given us to reach others. And we want to leverage it in such a way that when in coming out of how we spend our dollars, in coming out of how we spend our time, that we will come out of it saying, well, that was well worth it. And one way that we can do that is by making a positive impact on someone's life. This is all about leveraging all that we have, leveraging our time, leveraging our talents, leveraging our dollars so that we can have a positive impact on our city as we serve and minister to people, as we build relationships with those people around us, and that we can see that we can be a part of an incredible movement of God in our city. And so if you have your Bibles today, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 19. And we've looked at a little bit of this already, but we haven't looked at verse 19, which is really where I want to focus today. Now remember, Paul is writing this letter to a young minister that is named Timothy. And he's been encouraging him on how he can actually encourage those Christ followers who he comes into contact with. And Paul begins then here in this chapter with a challenge to a particular group of people through Timothy. And often when we begin to read this chapter, when we begin to read this passage, we think, well, Paul is referring to someone else. This doesn't apply to me. But let's see what Paul says to Timothy here, beginning in verse 17. He says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. First thing I want us to see here is that if we want to reach our city, if we as Big Spring Baptist Church, and that's not just us corporately together, you are Big Spring Baptist Church. If we as Big Spring Baptist Church want to reach our city, we must first have an eternal perspective. We've looked at this idea over the past few weeks. We've looked at this chapter and even a couple of these verses over the past couple of weeks. But I want to remind you here that Paul is talking to us. It is so hard to embrace what the Bible is teaching at this point if we fail to see that we are the ones that Paul is referring to. We are a wealthy group of people, and I know most of us, when we actually begin to think about it, we would say, well, Pastor, I'm not rich. I'm not the one that Paul is referring to here. And the reason why we often feel that way is because we are often comparing ourselves with someone who is usually a step up above us, who has something more that we don't have, and we say, well, look, I'm not rich. They are. But do you know most of us in this room would be in the top 5% of income earners in the world today? And so we see we are the ones who Paul is referring to. We might always see someone with something more than we have and we don't feel wealthy, but I want us to understand that Paul is talking to us here in 1 Timothy 6. And so what does he tell us? He says, don't put your identity in your wealth. Instead, I want you to put your identity in Christ, because we know and we understand that there is a higher calling to our lives than just how much we make or how much we have. That there is a far greater identity than that. And then he goes on to say that we should receive the blessing that God entrusts with us, and we should leverage it in such a way that we are rich in good works. Paul says that you need to take what God gives you, and you need to put, and you don't need to put your trust in it. You don't need to tie your identity to it, but you need to leverage it in such a way that you are rich in good works as God provides for you. He says here that we should be generous. And then he gives us an eternal perspective. Because in verse 19 he says, we are to store up treasures for ourselves that are a good foundation. And he's talking about the being rich in good works. He's not saying store up for yourselves treasures of the things that you own and things that you have here on this earth. But he says the good foundation for you is when you take what God has given you, what God has blessed you with, and you use it and you leverage it so that you are rich in good works. And we all are able to do this because we know that there is a greater home that we have, and it is a place called heaven. We know that there is a greater hope, that there is a greater future that we have than what we can enjoy here on this earth. And so we don't store up for ourselves treasures here on this earth, but we have that eternal perspective, looking at what is to come. We look and see people who might be destined to eternity without Christ, and we see that instead of what we might have. And we say, I'm going to use all that God has given me so that I can reach others for Christ, so that I can impact their eternity instead of just looking at the right here, right now. And so Paul is speaking to us that our hope, that our faith, that our identity should never be tied to our possessions, but that instead our identity should always be tied to the work of Jesus Christ. And so we should see ourselves as being richly blessed. And when we see ourselves as being richly blessed, we should be thankful for all that God has provided us, and we should leverage our blessing in such a way that we are rich in good works, that we are generous, that we are storing up treasures in heaven, that we are paying it forward, if you will. And so today, we want to wrap up this teaching part of this, and then we want to move forward with the application of this as we try then to actually reach our city. And here's what I want you to understand. Being rich is not defined by how much money you make. Often that's what we look at. Well, I'm rich if I make a certain amount of money. But what I want you to understand is that rich people have more than they need, and rich people are rich in options. And so if you're still wondering, does this really apply to me here this morning? Does this teaching apply to my life? Here's how you can know. Do you have a little bit more than you need? And do you have options? Let me illustrate what I'm talking about here in this. Many of us in our culture get paid to take 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks off from work. We actually get paid to not show up at work. And we call that vacations. And we love it. We like to take those vacations. And just think, though, that's amazing. We get paid not to show up at work. Do you realize that most people around the world, if you do not show up to work, you don't get paid? Do you understand that in our culture, we get paid for the entire year. We work the entire year. But we only actually, most of us work 5 days out of the week. So we have 2 days then left to do whatever we want to do. Again, around the world, most places, most people have to work 6 to 7 days a week. And then not only do we have the blessing of how we are able to earn income, but we also are blessed with the freedom of time. We get to do fun things with our kids or our spouses or our friends. We get to go to games. We get to go to concerts. We get to go to events. We get to go to gymnastics. We get to go see our kids play some kind of instrument. We get to go down to Atlanta and see the Braves play. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, the Braves are in first place this year. I'm super excited about that right now. I was worried about it as I wrote this sermon a little bit ago when they were actually in first place and was afraid they might not be by the time I got to do this sermon, but they are actually in first place, and we have the freedom, we have the chance to go see the Braves play. We have this time to do all of these things. So then, are we rich? Does this teaching apply to us? Should it be my focus to formulate a game plan to leverage what I have in terms of dollars and time for the glory of God? Do I really need to give serious consideration to storing up the kind of treasure in heaven that Paul is talking about here? And the answer is yes. Because you have a little bit more than you need, and we do have options. We have margin in time. So this applies to us. In most places around the world, this is not true. Now, I don't say any of these things to make any of us carry a false guilt. Paul does not say that you need to take a poverty vow. No, Paul says you are rich in the present time because God has richly provided for you. So we are to not to receive the blessing that God gives us and just store it up for ourselves, but we are to receive the blessing with thanksgiving. And Paul is saying just that we aren't to tie our identity to what God has given us. And so he says we should be generous in what God has given to us because we're looking to the future and we're looking into eternity instead of now. And we do that by leveraging our dollars and our time to impact the lives of the people around us. And so, for us to be able to reach our city, we must have an eternal perspective. And the second thing I want us to realize is this. If we are going to reach our city, we must have a plan. We see that this does apply to us, but the question is, how do I become a person who receives the richness that God provides in such a way that we turn it into a good works and that we show a generous spirit? And the bottom line is, we have to have a plan. The only way we are going to be able to do that is to plan it. You know, studies show us that rich people are less generous in both percentage and in amount than those who have less. And you want to know the reason why? It's because intentionality is the key. The reason why rich people often give less is because, you know, if you're making $1,000 and you began to write that $100 tithe check, that's a little bit easier, right? Because most people, yes, there's a lot that you can buy with that $100, but most people can adjust so that that $100 isn't really missed. But then, say you're making $10,000, and you start to write that $1,000 check, it's like, oh, there's a lot that I really could do with that $1,000. I don't know, that's a lot of money there. I don't know if I really should give that $1,000. So I'm going to give less because I can actually use all of that. And so as the increments go up, so is the awareness of what you could do with that. And so what you begin to do is you begin to cut back. And that's why studies have shown that rich people give less in terms of amount and percentage than those who actually have less. So the question is, how do we leverage what we have so that we are rich in good works, that we are generous and willing to share, storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven? And the way that we do that is to be intentional about it and to have a game plan. See, do you realize that most of the giving that people do is spontaneous and not systematic? That it's just, oh, well, I'm just going to give what I have here with this. I don't really have a plan to give on a regular basis, but I'm just going to spontaneously give. But my challenge for you today is that if that is you, then will you be willing to move from spontaneous giving to systematic giving? Those of you who are retired have already began to reap the benefits of this. Because how does retirement work? You know, you get paid, but every single week before you see that check, what happens? That money is taken out of that check before you even ever see it, and it's put into some retirement account. And the reason why that happens is because if you ever saw that money, you would end up putting it in the bank and finding something to spend it for rather than saving it for retirement. But there's a systematic giving that is planned for retirement that before you even see it, it is taken away out of your check because you know you are going to need that in the future. So for us, and then in this instance, it looks like this. We say to God, from the top, God, I'm going to set a budget and what I spend, about what I spend, but before I even get to that budget, I'm going to siphon off a portion of what I make to give to you, Lord, as you command me to do, long before I see it and long before I spend it. In the Old Testament, there was a word that God used to refer to this in talking about the Israelites. It was called first fruits. And we don't use that word today very much because we're not as big of an agricultural society as the Israelites were. So we don't really think of that. But God had told the Israelites, he said, when you go and you harvest your food, when you harvest all that you have, I want you to take the first 10% of that harvest and I want you to give it to me. God says, I want the first fruits. I want that first 10%. Now, why did God tell the Israelites that he wanted them to give him the first 10%? It's because God understood human nature and that he understood that if we got that and we put it in the bank, eventually it's going to get spent. So God said, I want the first fruits. And the same has to be true for us. We have to go from a place of spontaneous giving to more systematic giving where we give to the Lord first. And when we do that, it fuels a heart for missions and ministry. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with spontaneous giving, where we give because we get excited about something or we get motivated about something and you give for that. You know, throughout the year as a church, we ask for you to give in extra ways. Maybe it's You get excited about something that's going on in our student ministry and you give to that. You know, maybe it's you give to a ministry that is here in town that is reaching out to our community and you get excited about that and you give to that. And there are times as a church we come around those ministries. For example, New Hope Pregnancy Center, and we ask you to fill up that bottle full of change so that we can help that ministry. And that is such a thing as spontaneous giving. But what I want us to understand is that our giving should not always just be spontaneous. That should be a part of it. But the pattern of our giving should be systematic with spontaneous built in because our God wants the first fruit. And let me tell you, if we do not have a plan, if we do not have intentionality about it, then we will always find ways to spend our money. Let me illustrate it to you this way. You know, a lot of people like to set up a budget about, okay, well, here's what I'm going to spend. And I remember going through college, they would often tell us about the envelope system. And so you would set up your envelopes with how much you're going to spend. And say you wanted to go to the movies with your wife that week. Well, you're going to go to your entertainment envelope. And if there's no money left in that envelope, well, then you're staying at home and watching Netflix. That's kind of how it works. But here's the thing. In every single budget, there's always going to be something that comes up that just blows up your budget. Whether it's something with a house or with a car, there's always something that comes up. And I got to tell you, I've got a little bit of a weakness. Because I can be a spontaneous giver at times. And it can blow up a budget when you are a spontaneous giver like that. Because there's always a time when that doorbell rings at my home. And I open it up and there's a pretty little girl with her mom. And she says, would you like to buy Girl Scout? And even before she gets those cookies out, I'm like, yes, I would. Yes, I would. You don't even have to show me the display. I already know what I want. I want some Thin Mint. Any of you here are Thin Mint lovers in the house today? Got quite a few. That's right. I know it's the top seller of the Girl Scout cookies. Everybody loves the Thin Mint. And you know, let me just tell you a little bit about how the devil is working through the Girl Scouts. Because you know, they come and they begin to sell you their cookies and they're like $50 a box, you know? And then there's only two little sleeves in that side of that box. And I have learned that one box is about one serving size. That's how it works. You know, I can eat an entire box. So I really need about 10 boxes of cookies myself. So I'm sitting there thinking, all right, I want 10 boxes of Thin Mints. But then I also have to realize I got three little scavengers that are usually behind me. They're called children. And they want cookies themselves. And so it's like, okay, I need 10 boxes for myself. I need about 20 boxes for my kids. And so I'm sitting there running through my head and everything. Yes, I would like about $5,000 worth of Thin Mints. And I will be set. And there's Stephanie thinking, where in the world do we have room for that in our budget? Where are you going to find the money? And I'm like, I just don't think you're thinking through this logically, honey. There are things in this world that are worth breaking your budget for. And Thin Mints is one of them. It is worth it. She's like, okay, well, where are we going to find the money? I guess the kids' college fund. You know, the majority of them are for them anyway, so what's the problem with that? Any of you are parents, if your parents here today and you're looking at the budget and where to spend money, the college fund will cover a lot of things. That's the best advice you can ever have in working through that budget. That's where all that extra comes from. I'm just kidding there, but, you know, as you think about it, and we began to think, well, there's all these things that we have, and where are you going to come up with that kind of money? But that's spontaneous giving. It happens. And let me be honest here. I've got to be honest. I don't like Thin Mints. I'm a tag-along type of person. I would do that for tag-alongs, but I know that most people like the Thin Mints, and I figured if I started talking about Thin Mints, all of you would listen to me here this morning, and y'all would begin to get the point there. But you understand, spontaneous giving, it happens. It's the reason why when you go to Food City and you get to the checkout, you are then bombarded with all of that candy, and you have that little refrigerator there with all the drinks, and it's like, Oh, yeah, I actually am thirsty. Let me get me a cold Coke here today. And let me tell you, these people are smart. Because right next to the Twix bars and the Kit Kats is that little Star Wars toy. And you're sitting there wondering, why in the world is there a Star Wars toy at the checkout line? And why in the world is Food City even having toys to sell? Well, I'll tell you why. Because when you're there with your four-year-old child checking out, your child is going to fall on the floor and cry and scream until you buy them that toy, and they know that, and so they put that toy there just so your child will do that, and that you will end up buying a little something extra. Or that's why when you're walking down the grocery aisle, right there in the middle of the aisle, you have to go around it, there's no way around it, is the display, double stuffed Oreos, 2 for $1. By the way, who of you are still buying the regular Oreos? That shouldn't even be an item anymore, because the double stuffed Oreos are the same price as the regular Oreos. You should all just be buying the double stuffed because they're so much better than the regular ones. But you know, you see that there and it's like, well, that's not on my list, but they sound awful good and they're 2 for $1. Why not buy them? And so you put them on. Well, where are you going to get the money for that? Well, I don't know. I know it wasn't on the list, but they're 2 for $1. You can't pass that sale price up. Do you want to know what you will never see in a place like Haiti in a grocery store or a place where they don't really have much extra? You're never going to see a display in the middle of the grocery store aisle. Why? Because they don't have the money to buy the extra things like that. See, human nature is wired. It's wired in such a way that we are very good at spontaneous buying and spontaneous giving. It's been that way all along. But here's my point. We are privileged to do it. You won't see that type of thing in other countries where they don't have much excess. You won't see the display in the middle of the grocery aisle because they don't have the money to buy those things. But we are richly blessed. We are the rich ones that Paul is speaking to. And so he says, don't tie your identity or hope to what you have, but be thankful to what God has given you and handle it in such a way that you are committed to being rich in good works, being generous and willing to share, so that we are storing up for ourselves a greater treasure that will last for all eternity. That means we need to be intentional. It's not just going to happen by accident. We have to have a game plan. And that game plan has to be, God, I realize I'm rich. I might not feel rich, but I realize that you have richly blessed me. So I'm going to create enough margin where I can give to you systematically, not spontaneously. But let me say, this doesn't just apply to our money. It can apply to our time as well. As I said earlier, most of us only work 5 days a week. So that means we have 52 weekends out of a year to do whatever we want. Do you realize that is 104 extra days out of the year that you get to use however you want? What if we were to say, I'm going to commit one of those in the morning, yes, so that I can be part of a family to come together and to worship. I'm going to be committed to a community of faith. But beyond that, I've got 104 extra days. And so I'm going to take 4 of those days and I'm going to connect with New Hope Pregnancy Center. And I'm going to go over there to try to save unborn babies' lives and help teach and prepare new mothers on how they can be good parents. Out of those 104 days, I'm going to take 1 or 2 of those days and I'm going to volunteer over at City Fields and serve some families in our community. Or I'm going to take a couple of those days and I'm going to volunteer over at the Refuge and I'm going to serve some people there. Let you see what we are doing to try to reach our city is to give you some on-ramps of how you can serve people around you, of how you can use the margin that you have in your life, and you can use it where you will never say, that was a waste of my time. Maybe you say, I have 4 weeks of vacation this year, and I'm going to use three of them with my family, and we're going to go down to Florida or wherever you would go, and you should do that. You should go and use the richness of what God has blessed you with. But God, I'm going to take that fourth week, and I'm going to take that, and I'm going to go to Washington, D.C., or I'm going to go to Puerto Rico, or I'm going to go to Jamaica or Nicaragua, and I'm going to minister to the people there. See, this margin isn't just about dollars. It's also about our time. And so now it's a matter of how can I budget my time? How can I budget my dollars where they are working for your kingdom and we are setting up for ourselves treasures up for the future, just like Jesus told us to do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, Jesus is saying here, you have to be intentional about it. You have to intentionally plan, budget, to use your margin so that you are rich in good works. And when you do that, your heart follows. When we are investing in something, our heart follows that. When we are giving to something, our heart follows that. So here's some encouragement for you. Wherever you are today, some of you are faithfully and generously giving, and you've made that part of your family's DNA, and I thank you for that. But maybe some of you aren't there yet, or some of you are just beginning. I want to challenge you to think about where you are in terms of your time and dollars. And I want to challenge you to take a step forward. Maybe you're at 2%. Can you get to 3%? Maybe you're at 5%. Can you get to 6%? Or you're at 9%. Can you get to 10%? Are you at 10%? Maybe you can get to 11%. You know, I have to say, I grew up in a church where it was always 10%, 10%, 10%. But the problem with that is some people have been giving 10% all of their lives, and there is way more that they can give because that is no longer generous or sacrificial for them. And that is why the New Testament speaks of a heart that is generous and kind instead of a number. And so we should always seek to do more as God blesses us with the ability to do more, as there is no magic number. But what I want to do is I want to challenge you to find out where you are and strive to do more. Because it's not about a percentage. It's about how has God blessed you and how can you leverage what God has given you to be rich in good works and laying a foundation so that you can lay hold of what is truly life. You may be wondering, how in the world can I take this and do it? How can I apply this to my life? Well, there's an easy way. Do you go to Starbucks a lot? You know, if you go to Starbucks every single morning, that's about $5 a day. Maybe you go out to eat a lot. What if we were all to say, well, I'm going to increase my giving by $25 a week, which means I'm going to let go of my Starbucks in the morning, and that would cover my $25. Or I'm going to go out to eat just a little bit less during the week. Do you realize that if we all took this challenge with our finances and said, I'm going to give a little more time to serving my city, that we would be able to do so much more to impact our city? And it all begins with being intentional. It's about saying, I am the one that Paul is talking about. So I'm going to be rich in good deeds. I'm going to be generous and willing to share, storing up treasures in heaven, which is a good foundation so that I can take hold of what is truly life. So the goal of this initiative is for us to give more, to do more, to leverage more. Why? Because we have more. We have more. So let's give more, do more, invest more, leverage more. Because this is truly how to be rich and how to live rich. And when you live rich, then you see the blessing of God in your life and in your family. that you could not otherwise do because the Lord loves those who cheerfully give. That is what Reaching Our City is all about. It's about giving what God has blessed us with, whether that is dollars, whether that is time, whether that is the use of our talents. Whatever it is that God has given us, we use that to reach our city. Let us use what God has blessed us with so that we can see God do more in and through us for His kingdom and for His glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for how You have truly blessed us. Father, we realize that we live in a culture, we live in a nation where we are truly blessed. We are blessed often more financially. We are blessed with our time. We are blessed with opportunities that we have. And Father, I pray that we would realize how blessed we truly are. Father, that we would realize that You have richly blessed us. Father, help us to view that in different terms, not to view rich in how much we have, but Father, to view it in what You have given us and how You have given us so much. And so, Father, I pray that we would then take what You have given us and we would leverage it in such a way that we would impact the lives of those around us. Father, help us to look into our lives to see where we can build in margin, whether it be with our time, whether it be with our dollars, whether it be with how we use our talents. Father, let us use all that You have given us. Let us leverage it to impact the eternity of those around us. Father, help us not to look at the here and now. Help us not to look at what tomorrow holds, but Father, let us look to eternity. Let us realize that there are many people that are around us who are lost and dying and going to hell. And if we don't intervene, if we don't reach out, if we don't share the love that You have shown us, then they could spend an eternity apart from You. Father, I pray that we would be broken over that. Father, that we would then be all in to say, Father, I want You to use me. I want You to use what You have given me to reach those people around me. So that, Father, we as a church could begin to reach our city. That we could be a part of a great movement that You will do in this city when Your followers are willing to submit to You, to be used by You, are willing to serve You and minister in Your name. Father, we pray that You would use us to impact our community, that You would use us to impact our city, that You would use us to impact our workplaces, that You would use us to impact our schools. Father, that You would use us to impact our neighborhoods. Not for the sake and the glory of Big Spring Baptist Church, but Father, that You would use us to impact our city for Your glory and for Your kingdom. And we pray for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together as we sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have